You're listening to the Cross Brand Sunday Morning Service on HLE Radio. Now here is Pastor Mike Morrow with today's message.
I am starting a new series entitled, Jesus Said What? Because, you know, Jesus did say some very difficult things. He said some very confusing things. And so it is our job as believers to decipher exactly what he meant, who he was talking to, you know, the general context on this. But Jesus said something, if he would have said this today, he would have been called every name in the book. He would have been called close-minded. He would have been called a bigot. He would have been called an elitist. He would have been called an intolerant, narrow-minded, arrogant, hateful bigot. He said one thing, and I'll get to that, but to show you, guys, y'all understand the climate in America right now. People don't like what they perceive as intolerant people. I saw it unfold the other day. Just happened to be listening or watching Fox News. And guys, y'all got to know my heart on this. But the deal with LGBTQ plus has gone off the rails in America. Okay, it's off the rails. It denies common sense. It denies science. Now, if you are in that community, you got to understand the number one person that loves you more than anybody else is Jesus. Plain and simple. And then we love you. And I apologize if people have been mean to you on a true level, not just your perceived level. But the other day, there was a situation that happened in Washington. Imagine anything happening weird in Washington. But Representative Keith Self from Texas abruptly adjourned a congressional hearing. It was Tuesday, after Representative Bill Keating from Massachusetts objected to self-recognizing Representative Sarah Bride McBride, Delaware, who is a trans woman. The representative from Texas introduced and said this. Well, he called her Mr. Now, that went over like poop in the punch bowl. So you know what she did? She called him Mrs. And you got to listen to the clip because that was real short, but this representative bounced back. Well, there were several tense moments in the chamber because they came to that trans woman's rescue. And finally, they didn't even start the meeting. They just adjourned because it got so disrupted. And they said, you are so cruel. You are so mean for calling her what she biologically was born with. I guess I upset Quill. He ain't a Democrat, is he? I'm kidding. This is your first day here. Everything, everybody is open season for me. Intolerance. And many of you college students know what it's like. Many of you people that work for major corporations in the private sector, I've noticed this year a lot, have reversed their policies on DEI. Diversity, equity, and inclusion. But many of you still work for the government. And boy, you've had to make some hard choices over the last few years as to pronouns, as to your role over the parents. Thank God it's not as bad in our part of the world yet, but boy, some of these major cities, a kid can transition as long as he has two professional staff people in the public school to help him or her transition and not tell parents. We are cratered. We are like a snowball headed for hell in regards to this idea of intolerance. But you know who came across one day as the most intolerant person in history? Jesus. And he knew what it was going to shake up. But let's just read this. You ready? Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. And if it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? I'm not a liar. And if I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself so that where I am, you may be also. And he said, you know good and well the way to where I'm going. Thomas says, Lord, what the heck are you talking about? That's the Texas version of the Bible. How can we know the way? And Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. You know what he said? It's epic. He said, you're not getting to heaven any other way. You're not getting to God, the true God, any other way except through me. And, boy, that confused a lot of those little good Hebrew boys because they knew there were certain people, places, and rituals that, you know, that the Pharisees were pushing. And they really, really, truly were a little bit confused that day. Now, that's early in Jesus' ministry. The farther they get into that ministry on earth, they begin to understand a little bit more. It wasn't just Jesus that said this. Luke recorded in Acts chapter 4, there is no salvation. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people by which they must be saved. One way. Exclusively one way. Paul told Timothy, for there is one God, one mediator between God and mankind. It's the man Christ Jesus. One way. One option. No plan Bs. No forks in the religious road gets you to heaven. Now, I know I'm sitting here talking to people that are in the Bible Belt. Most of you are going, we get that. Do you? Because a survey was done about a few years ago. 57% of evangelical Christians believe, yeah, there's many ways to God. Christianity is not the way, it is a way. But yet Jesus didn't say, I am a way. I'm the truth. I'm one of the truths. And I'm one of the great lights. He didn't say that. He said simply, I am exclusively the only way. And why did it bother? Let me answer quick four questions. Why did it bother them so dadgum much, those people listening that day, even some of the disciples? At that time, so many of the Jewish folks understood getting right with God had been placed, there was a standard placed by the Pharisees. Now, Paul, if I mess up on this, you let me know. But so God gave the children of Israel the law of Moses. But here's what happens. The religious leaders, and it goes all the way back to the school of prophets in the Old Testament, they began to add their own interpretation to the list of rules that God had gave. And God's rules were pretty simple in the Old Testament. But, so the Pharisees, the scribes, and the Sadducees, they were the leaders, the religious leaders, and there was a political link there too to the Roman government. But they began to add their interpretation of those rules. And before you know it, every generation of those religious Jewish leaders would add some more rules. And people were so beat down by it. You couldn't even eat on a Sunday, according to them, because it would have been breaking the Sabbath. Well, what'd Jesus do? He just blowed right through that. His daddy didn't write that rule. He just said, keep the Sabbath, keep it holy. And all these other man-made rules. And so the people that were hearing Jesus say, I am the way to the Father. And he didn't mention temple sacrifices. He would be the ultimate temple sacrifices. He didn't mention all of those certain festivals that they, you know, Jewish folks were having to keep. And remember, Jewish folks got saved the same way we get saved. They got saved by faith. All the rituals and all those things that came after that were just indicators of their commitment outwardly to an inward truth. So this is why Jesus would say one day, be careful not to practice your own righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father in heaven. And Jesus would go on in several points to say, look, if your view of righteousness, being right with God, isn't higher in its standard than the Pharisees, you're twice a child of hell, is what he said on one occasion. It bothered them because it was new and it was very, very exclusive. And it's the same reason that so many people outside your circle cannot understand why you would be so closed off and so closed-minded to your Muslim friends, so closed off to your Mormon friends, so closed off to the idea that there are no other religions that can get you to heaven. I'm telling you, Jesus said there are none. But what? Look at us. Why does it bother us? One word, tolerance. Some of you have literally had your mind shaped by education, by your corporate influencers. Some 20-year-olds and teenagers are having a tic-tac expert in 2 minutes destroy everything your mama and daddy have tried to instill in you. Everything. Took 2 minutes to talk you out of your faith. And by the way, you know what? If it takes you somebody two minutes to talk you out of your faith, you ain't never had it. That's not real faith. Now, if you're like my father-in-law, he went to University of North Texas. My father-in-law, Gerald Orr, one of my heroes, but he went to the University of North Texas, now hear the whole story, walks into a philosophy class. Now, this was Moses his teacher? I mean, it was a long time ago. Oh, I'm sorry. No, he served as the song leader for Moses' church. I knew there was a connection. Years ago, a philosophy class at UNT. And the guy said the first day, he said, if you're a Christian, I'm going to wreck your world. First day of class. He said, I'm going to talk you out of believing everything that foundationally you were told. The last day of class, he steps up. Oh, sorry. I got scolded the other day. There's an invisible fence up here, and I go off. Last day of class, the professor stands up and says, by the way, I'm a born-again Christian. I love Jesus. I just want to make sure you know what you believe. He says, but if I can talk you out of a semester, in one semester, if I can talk you out of your faith in one semester that you have had so-called all your life, you never had it. Did that sting a little bit to some of y'all? You know what other ways people insist there are to get to heaven? Now, a lot of them will not tell you. If you're having a conversation with someone at work or at school or at college professor, there's typically, especially in our world, evangelicals, Northeast Texas, East Texas church people, or non-church people. I mean, how many people did you think about? How many of your buddies right now are working or sleeping or on the lake? I had a guy tell me one time, I asked him where he went to church, and he said, "Lady of the Satin Sheets." I had no idea. Honestly, I'm pretty witty. I didn't get it until I walked away. He don't. He sleeps through church. That's his bed. I heard about a guy one time that named his boat Church. No, I'm in church. I'm in church on Sunday mornings. There's three things that commonly happen to us. As much as the Lord has hammered on some of y'all, you still refuse and you want to, you choose your way to heaven. Number one is what we call legalism. That's what Matt was referencing. Look, there's rules in the Bible, but there's a whole lot of not rules in the Bible. All right? And a lot of people just think they can behave themselves into heaven. Now, some of you talented people like me in school, I couldn't behave. The devil would just come up on me every morning. I'd get right off the bus and he'd meet me at school door. And they'd beat me, trying to beat the demons out of me. And I wasn't a bad kid, I just wasn't gonna behave. You cannot behave. Well, my point is, you cannot behave well enough to get in heaven. I mean, you can say, "Well, I stopped drinking. I did." That's fine. The drinking is just a symptom of the heart, or the dope, or the abuse, or whatever. It's a heart problem, and only Jesus can fix that. Legalism is one way right here in this part of the world. Number two, the second way is what we call formalism. Formalism is when you're going to follow the rules and the rituals. It'll go, and some of you kind of stamp out legalism by formalism. So here's what you can do. You can say, "Well, I'm gonna live like hell all week, but I'm gonna pay my tithe and offering on Sunday morning. I'm going to square the deal up with God. Yep, I'm going to cheat on my wife, but I'm going to be the best Sunday school teacher you've ever seen in your life." Now that reasoning is, not only is it demonic, it's just stupid. And you know, if you got the gift like I do, I said at TW's funeral, TW and I had one thing in common. We had the sixth sense. We see dumb people. That's not a very smart thing to say. You can't be baptized into heaven. You can't be knowledgeable to get into heaven. You can't attend church enough to get into heaven. You can't keep most of the Ten Commandments as a checklist to get into heaven. Jesus said, "I am the way." And then finally, the other one is not only legalism, formalism, and humanitarianism is the last one. That says, I'm just going to be so good to other folks. And I had a friend of mine tell me that one time. He said, "You know, Jesus came, and ultimately, I'm not going to focus on any of the rules in the Bible. I'm just going to do what Jesus said, love God and love others." I think he failed debate class. That's improper logic, guys. Taking care of others from just a human standpoint is not going to get you into heaven. You know what taking care of others is? It's a byproduct of salvation. It's a byproduct that you got the Holy Spirit. It is what happens when you give your life to Jesus. You're just naturally going to want to help people, plain and simple. And then for other cultures, and all you got to do is go to a mall. Hang on. I hear. I don't hang out at those kind of places. Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, Jewish, and then you've got these so-called other religions here in our part of the world. You see them knocking on your door. And you can mess with a Jehovah's Witness if you're having a good day. Invite them in, tell them you couldn't be more happy to see them. Your telephone's right over there. Looking forward to getting an invoice. Appreciate you guys stopping by to fix it. I'm not saying I would do that. Hey, I do think I need to answer this just real quick, and then you'll have my talk for today. Real quick. How do you respond to people who don't have a one-way mindset? How do you respond to those people at work that say, no, yeah, there's so many other ways to get saved? All right? Number one, behave. Please don't fight. The one thing y'all have got down, most of you at Crossbrand, is you stand firm for truth, and I appreciate that, but you don't have any grace when you do it. People will not come to faith if you're screaming at them. They simply will not. Was that Jesus' style of evangelism? No. None of the apostles, that was their style of having a gospel conversation. Number two, please be gentle. Please be gentle. Just like Jesus. And you know, if you can't be gentle, if you can't behave, don't have that conversation. Be brave. You realize when you offer that solution to heaven and hell one way, there's going to be people that just get so angry with you. But you are the mailman or the mailwoman. Ultimately, their beef is with the sender. I mean, you get a bill from the IRS, you ain't mad at your mailman. What's wrong with you? Mad at the IRS, the sender. Ultimately, Jesus said, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Number four, talking to somebody that don't think one way. You folks, you got to be firm. Stand. Just like the Lord told Joshua when he was about to cross the river. He said, be strong and very courageous. The thing about this, guys, do you believe in absolute truth? Do you? Well, that's sad. If you couldn't answer yes. Absolute truth is found in the Word. And ultimately, if you don't strain and siphon and filter every move you make through Scripture, we already have got a battle lost. Maybe y'all didn't understand the question. Here's the thing about absolute truth. And this is happening right now, especially with progressive Christianity movements, which, by the way, we've lost several of our people to some progressive churches. Because progressive is easy. It don't make you feel guilty. If I'm wrong, I need to feel guilty. I need to get a stingy conscience, which is why God designed the conscience. Here's the problem with you not believing in absolute truth, which is Scripture, is classroom. Kid makes a 90. There's 10 questions. He makes a 90. He gets his paper back, and the question he missed was, what is the capital of Texas? And he put on there Dallas. And the teacher said, no, it's Austin. I've been there. Everybody knows it's Austin. And he said, well, that's your opinion. And so he did a polling of his classmates. How many of you believe the capital of Texas is Dallas? And they raised their hand. And he says, what makes your opinion of where the capital is located better and bigger than ours? Guys, 1 + 1 = 1 every time. Oh, so you do believe in absolute truth. Good, I finally got the right dang answer after I've been prying from all these visitors. Some of these visitors are going, well, that's the dumbest church I've ever been in my life. Preacher don't even know how to add. You've got to start with the truth. Believe the Bible. You got to be believable. If your life doesn't reflect your convictions, I pray you'll change that. But ultimately, guys, you got to be a telling. You've got to tell your story. Listen, you can walk in there with a Bible, and that's great if they're ready for that. Bibles scare a lot of people to death. One thing they never know what's up on is your story. And they're having a rough day. They've lost a loved one. And you just slide right in and tell them how in the world you survive losing yours. It's because of that Jesus that claims to be a one-way God. Miss Gail, I've done pretty good, except for Friday. Of course, I had to come apart with you and Shane. I buried Tommy Williams. He's one of our elders. He's one of the wisest men I've ever met in my life. He was my mentor, and he was my friend. I will say that Thursday proves the power of prayer, because there's no way I could have stood up and done that. But let me tell you another reason that gave me confidence. There is no question where my friend and mentor is right now. He is in heaven. Now, dang it, he beat us there. Miss Gail, he's going to be in trouble one of these days. Miss Gail, he beat us there. Tommy believed that there was only one way. And the peace and the change in his life, we ain't even got time to talk about that. You know, Miss Gail said Tommy wasn't really stingy, but it used to make him so mad when she'd give to the church. And then he got saved and he tried to outgive the Lord. Yeah. And Miss Gail, I'm hearing stuff now that Tommy made people swear not to tell that he had given them money. And these people are coming up to me and going, okay, he's in heaven. I can tell you now what he did for me. That was that man. And those kids that are sitting right out there, there's no question where their daddy is, because he was a one-way kind of man. He believed Jesus. Guys, I'm not asking you this morning to believe about Jesus. I'm asking you to trust Christ. He came out of that grave. And if you have never had a on purpose, on your own, distinct conversation with the Lord, you got to do that today, please. One way. Let's pray. Sorry I've kept you this long. Father, if there is someone here this morning that's tried everything, legalism, formalism, humanitarianism, if they've even sought the occult, they've sought other mainstream denominations that are really not denominations in America. They've sought these Eastern religions. Lord, I pray today you'll make it very clear that they will be saved by your grace and nothing else. So if they're here this morning, they can come down and talk to one of our prayer partners. If they're confused about whether or not they're really saved, have them talk to one of these prayer partners. But if they know they're ready, they know they're ready to invite you in. I pray right where they are, from where they sit, they'll say, Jesus, I'm a mess. I'm sorry. I know you died for my sins. Please change my life and help me, Lord Jesus, to follow you from this day forward. God bless you all.
Join us every Sunday morning at 6 a.m. right here on HLE Radio for the best in today's Christian country and yesterday's favorites. So if you love Christian country music, Tune in Sunday morning at 6 a.m. right here on HLE Radio.
HLEradio.com, Jennings, Louisiana.